Shalom, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from Yisrael Pesach Clifton. We are continuing our Daf HaShavua Insights of the Daf series. Tonight's Shir is being learned by Yuli Nishmas Avram Shaul ben Shulam et Salma, Erez Naftali's father, Zichrono Levracha. The Daf is Brachos Daf Yud, and the topic is, may eat before davening, please with a little sugar on top. Our Gemara starts on the bottom of Yud Amud Beis, and it's actually the fourth of a series of halachos brought down in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which have to do with putting a proper focus on ourselves when we daven. The last Gemara is this one. Avam Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, said name Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. My Gatsil, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Lo Sochu Al Adam, don't eat before the blood? Okay. So it says, Lo Sochu Kodam Shetispalu Al Dimkan, do not eat before you pray for your blood. What does that mean? Again, when we daven, we're davening for our livelihood, and even more, we're davening for our lives. Basically, every time we know that our lives hang in the balance of Hashem. What do we say every night? From Kriya Shema, Biyadcha Av Kidruchi, Ba'esi Shon V'Aviyado Av Kidruchi, Ba'esi Shon V'Avira. And the morning we wake up, we say the same thing. Modan V'Fanecha, Shechazar T'Bidish Masi. So we know that when we're davening, and we know that everything that we have is tallying in the Yad Hashem. So what the Gemara is saying in the name of Elazar ben Yaakov is that a person shouldn't eat when he's got issues of dam or blood or his blood or his survival at stake. Now, of course, before we even start to analyze this pasuk, and that's not the pasuk pshat of the pasuk. In fact, some of the Mefarshim, including the Rashbam, says that this pasuk is speaking about a practice observed by certain non-Jewish people to eat a gravesite for the purpose of witchcraft. The Chizkuni says that this is part of a non-Jewish practice to eat at the grave of a murdered person, so you would not take revenge against anybody with his spirit. These are the pashut explanations of what this mitzvah is. The pashut pshat is not that we're talking about eating before davening. So we'll get to that very soon. But before that, let's just talk about for a second this specific prohibition of lo such al adam actually mirrors, or better yet, supplements another isser that we have. And that is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Sukkah, specifically Hilchos Lulav and Esrog. It's based on Mishnah and Gemara Maseches Sukkah. And I'll read you the quote from the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Reish Nun Beis. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Achol lechol kodem she'etlenu, one is forbidden to eat before he takes it," speaking about the Lulav and Esrog. "Vim shachach va'achal, if one forgot and he ate, and then while he's eating, v'nizkar al shulchano, and he remembered while he's eating that I didn't do the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. So b'yom harishon shu min haTorah, on the first day which is from the Torah, yafsik, he's got to stop. Afilu yesheus b'yom mitlo achar sheyochal. Even if he has the ability to take the lulav and esrog after he eats. Let's make up a scenario. A person doesn't have a lulav and esrog. And what happens is he goes, he davens, wakes up, he davens, says, I'm a shul either. Can't make it to shul. Or whatever, he goes to shul and he goes home and he realizes I didn't have lulav and esrog, I didn't bench lulav and esrog, and he knows that his neighbor can bring him one. And what happens is he sits down, he makes kiddush, and he starts to eat. And he's like, whoa, I didn't do it. Or whoa, my neighbor's here. He actually has to stop eating in the middle. No. The Ramah adds the following. However, here's something else. If a person began to eat more than half an hour before the Zman of the Chiyuv came in, Afilu b'yom harishon, ain't sarich lahafsik. One does not have to stop. So when does the Chiyuv of Lulav and Esrog come in? The Chiyuv of Lulav and Esrog comes in alos ha-shachar. So we see that if a person begins to eat more than half an hour before alos ha-shachar, so then he doesn't have to stop, as long as there's b'di'ika sheyos b'yom, if you have enough time to finish eating and do the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog during the day. And since Shkia and Sukkot is usually around 6:30 at night, I would hope the guy, he starts eating at 5 o'clock in the morning, will be finished by 6 o'clock that same evening. If he's going through a 13-hour meal, I think we've got bigger problems than not performing the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog on time. Now, this same idea, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Pei Tes, applies to Kriya Shema as well. And it says, V'im hiskel lechol kodem alos ha-shachar, tzarech lahafsik. If a person starts to eat before Shema, also he has to stop. Now the Mishnah says, "Ukemoshe kosef harama siman tafresh nun beis legabi lulav." The huadin legabi kriyashma deraisa. This also has to do with kriyashma The question is, what is losochul al adam erik? If there was already an iser of not eating half an hour before doing a mitzvah d'oraisa, so then what is losochul al adam erik if we already know that you're not supposed to do this because when you daven you have to say kriyas shema? So one answer one can give is what happens if a person, well, one answer is going to be dependent on whether lo sochul al adam is actually, this iser is a deraisa or a derabanan. That's something I'm going to speak about shortly. But let's assuming that tefillah at this moment and this iser is a iser derabanan. There is a mitzvah of minatora of kriya shema. So imagine this. If a person went ahead and ate, before he ate, he said kriya shema because he knows that there is this iser of eating half an hour before reciting kriya shema. And so what does he do? He sits down, he says shema, and then he runs out to bagel lunch. And then afterwards, he wants to go ahead and daven. So if you're going to hold, if you're just going to have the iser of the half an hour not eating before, say kriya shema, which is a mitzvah min haTorah, so then look, you've done that, you've said shema, you have no problem. But as far as lo sochul al adam, then you do have a problem. And that would put you into trouble because lo sochul al adam is, besides kriya shema, lo sochul al adam is a din in davening. This is why, by the way, the Mishneh Berurah, well, we'll get to it in a second, but there's another issue. And the other issue is this concept of the half of lo sochul al adam. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Pei Tes Sif Dalet says, however, that if we're dealing with a person who's a chola, a person is allowed to eat before davening. And that's what we say. It says, and the Shulchan Aruch adds in, Hatsami v'haroiv, somebody's thirsty and hungry, Harayim v'chlal acholim, they are included in this group of people who are considered to be sick. Im yesh bo yicholas l'chavim dayato yispalel. So if a person is, you know, is hungry and he's thirsty, if he's able to have kavan and daven well, then he should daven. V'im lav, but if he can't, im rotza, al yispala chayocha v'yishta. He doesn't have to eat until he, doesn't have to daven until he eats, meaning he's allowed to eat if he's hungry and thirsty to the point where it will disturb his kavan. And I'm not talking about, you know, a person can't make it till 8 o'clock in the morning or 7:30 in the morning when he daven chakras, you know, at 6:30, that's not what we're talking about. But, you know, we really would come up, let's say, Shabbos morning. A person goes to a scandalous, from my perspective, goes to a 9 o'clock minyan. I usually don't have a 9 o'clock minyan, for those who know me. But a person goes to 9 o'clock minyan, you're not going to be home till 11:15, 11:30. So, yeah, then you can go ahead and take something. So that would be putter from the din of lo sochul adam. However, mitzad the halacha of the half an hour, that wouldn't be helpful. So what the Mishneh Berurah says regarding the half an hour, the Mishneh Berurah says that, however, let me just get the place over here. The Mishneh Berurah says, though, that when it comes to ti'ima, when it comes to eating a little bit, meaning if somebody wants to take a little bit of a taste, let's say eating less than a beitzah's worth of food, somebody comes to eating worth a little bit, eating less than a beitzah's worth of food, that they're able to go ahead and do. Because, again, the prohibition of eating before doing the mitzvah, that's clearly one of hesach hadas, that we're afraid that we're not going to be able to finish it. And you're going to get distracted. However, and that's why the Ramah said that as long as a person's going to remember, he's got time to eat afterwards. But if it just means a little bit of a taste, nobody's going to have such a hesach hadas. So you eat a couple, you eat half a piece of cake, or you eat a cookie, or you eat a quarter of a bowl of cereal, or eat a granola bar, that's not going to go ahead and distract you. And in fact, I remember when I was in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, so what do? We made kiddush, we daven chakras, and we made kiddush. And remember the posek of the yeshiva, Rav Rubinstein, Shlita, got up and said, make sure that you don't eat a kibbutz's worth. And I had no idea what he was talking about, number one, because he was talking Hebrew. But besides that, I understand the concept. But, you know, if you look at it right over here at that time, but if you look at over here, it makes perfect sense. You see, regarding the eating before davening, that wasn't a problem because we daven chakras. Regarding the separate issue of making kiddush and Rosh Hashanah, that we make kiddush. But regarding the idea of, in terms of not doing a mitzvah, or not eating before you do a mitzvah, that's why we only had a small te'ima. In fact, I remember a number of years afterwards, I returned back to the yeshiva to visit my brother, and I spent Shavuos there. And I'm not sure what the whole discussion was, but, you know, being in Eretz Yisrael, and they do everything on the first day, they read Megillah Shavuos on the first day, davening Vasikin after being up all night and saying Megillah Shavuos is a perfect schooler for falling asleep, for sure. Or the two times I was in Eretz Yisrael for Shavuos, that didn't make a difference. I was out like a light during Rus. I didn't hear Rus that year, for sure not. Now, they had made an announcement, or the Gabe made an announcement, unbeknownst to Rav Rubenstein, that they're going to be saying that we read Megillah Shavuos before Mincha time, and this way they can eat at a normal time and people be awake. Rubenstein jumps up and says, we read it on cloth, and that's what they do over there, and that's got a chova of a mitzvah of chivas hayom, and it's got a din of a chova sayom. Treat it like any type of mitzvah of the day, and you're not allowed to eat before it. Therefore, he said, you have to go ahead and make Kiddush. What happened? You have to go ahead and read Megillah before you make Kiddush. What happened? The Maisa, they read Megillah Shavuos. Everybody fell asleep, besides the Baal Kari. Probably Rav Rubenstein to fall asleep. And then what happened is, they finished it, and then we were allowed to eat. So that's this idea. So just to summarize, the idea of Lo Socho L'Adam is different Chiyuv than eating before a Chovas Hayom. Lo Socho L'Adam means, aside from the fact that we're not allowed to eat before doing a mitzvah, there's a special Avera of not eating before davening. And as we said, that would even count if a person would say Kriya Shema before, where the 30-minute rule applies. That would not be, though, the same thing when it comes to Lo Socho L'Adam. You wouldn't get everything with tefillah. Now, this idea of Lo Socho L'Adam, what type of mitzvah is this? Is this a mitzvah asay deraisa? The mitzvah los asay deraisa? Or is this a derabbanan? So, the truth of the matter is, many of the Rishonim, including the Talmid of Rabbeinu Yonah, say that this is a din derabbanan, and the pasuk is only an asmachta, a reminder that we don't forget the din. There are other Rishonim, however, including the Ra'ah and the Rambam, that suggest it's from the Torah. And what the Rambam, the way you find it, the way one of the sources we really see that the Rambam holds this, comes from the Sefer HaMitzvos, Shoresh Tes, where the Rambam lists all the different rules of the mitzvos. And the Rambam quotes a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which describes many other prohibitions that come out of this, Lo Socho L'Adam, including don't eat before you're judging a Dine Nefashos case, if you're a judge in a Beis Din and you're about to paskin a case that involves a Misa situation, not to eat before, as well as many other Yisurim. And the Rambam brings this down as an example of what we call love Shebichlalos. And a lav shebichlalos is a lav that has many, many different manifestations that are not related to each other, specifically. And in such a situation, a person would not get malchus. So the fact that the Rambam brings our Gemara and brings down this is a further example of lav shebichlalos, not getting malchus, that would imply that the Rambam holds this as a deraisa. The Minchas Chinuch explains what the machlokas between those who say deraisa and those who say derabbanan might be related to the question as to what's the nature of tefillah. Our mitzvah, the daven shemona esrei each day, is that a mitzvah deraisa or is that a mitzvah derabbanan? Well, if you're going to say that tefillah is a mitzvah deraisa, then you could say that Lo Socho L'Adam is a real din. And that's what the Rambam does. The Rambam says there is a mitzvah to daven at least once a day. The times of the dizmanei tefillah, the nusach tefillah, that's derabbanan. But the Rambam says there is a chiv of tefillah. But the other rishonim who say that the chiv of davening shemona esrei is a din derabbanan, clearly, they're not going to hold that Lo Socho L'Adam is going to be a din d'oraisa if the mitzvah of davening itself was the rabbanan. How would you think? It doesn't make sense to say that. Well, not eating before davening is an issa d'oraisa, but davening itself is a derabbanan. No, that doesn't work. Now, the truth is, the Shulchan Aruch is of the opinion that it is a derabbanan, and that would explain the heter that they gave before. Think about it for a second. If there is a real bona fide issa d'oraisa, so then heter that we give, as far as the chola being just stam, somebody who's a ra'iv, or somebody who's a tzame, that would be work to go ahead and doche or push off an issur d'oraisa? Clearly not. So, this is why Mishnah Berurah tells us that this, in fact, is a din d'rabbanan. Now, the reason for this issur of Lo Socho L'Adam? Right, we mentioned before the half an hour rule. That's Hesach Hadas for sure, but what about Lo Socho L'Adam, which is just a specific Isser towards davening? So the Rashba, in his Chiddushi Agados, brings down two possibilities, and we'll bring down two Nafkaminas afterwards. What are the two possibilities? So one reason says it could be a diminished Kavana. What do we mean by a diminished Kavana? So I might think that, oh, a person needs a big breakfast, and he's all full of food, the food can tire him out and hampers concentration on the tefillos that he will pray. However, the Rashba doesn't say that's not what it means by kavana. Kavana over here doesn't mean your concentration in prayers. It means the direction that a person should take. Meaning, what happens when a person davens? Davening is really our opportunity to, number one, connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu 3 times a day. Number two, it's an opportunity to beseech Hashem and ask Hashem for things that we need. It's also our opportunity to rise above our humanity a little bit and praise God. Think about what we do when we say Kedusha. We are saying the words that the Malachim say. We are able to reach a certain level that we don't normally get in our daily things. So when a person goes ahead and eats and does a physical thing, a human thing, before this, he's totally missing the kavana. He's totally missing the purpose of his tefillah. A second reason is that one might think it's simply you can get distracted and just forget to daven. And that would be like the Hesech Hadas. That would be a little bit similar to the prohibition of what we're saying before with the half an hour rule. There are two nafkaminas between the reason that I bring it down. There are probably many more as well. But two nafkaminas could be, let's say, a person has a reminder, such as an alarm clock, or a set minute go to. I know so brought down the Rav Moshe Feinstein that an alarm clock is something which would be helpful. According to the first reason, we would still have an issue as you're misappropriating the role that was given to you by your kavana of your action is off. An alarm clock, that's not going to help you. You're still misappropriating your ability and your opportunity to rise above your physical status and to pray before Hashem. That should make no difference about whether you have an alarm clock or not. However, if it's the idea of a second reason in terms of forgetting an alarm clock, in theory, that should be able to work. Second is, what about a person needs to eat for health reasons? Like what the Shulchan Aruch mentions, the tzameh, or the ra'iv, besides a person who's chol. So we see a person who needs to eat for health reasons, somebody who needs to eat for health reasons before davening would not be a problem according to the first understanding. Here the person's not misappropriating his role, but rather he's doing something to help carry out the role properly. But if you say the reason is that we're afraid that he might miss the zman of davening and forget to pray altogether, this should definitely be a concern. Let's get to one other issue, and the other issue happens to be drinking. And the Shulchan Aruch in Siv Gimel brings down the following. It says, "Lo lecho v'lo lishtos v'amayim mutar lishtos kodem atfila." You are allowed to drink water. Bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos, b'yontif, whether it's Shabbos, the weekday where the davening is considerably less long, as compared to Shabbos and yontif. V'chin, ochlin u'mashkin, the refu mutar, you're also allowed to eat and drink things that are for health. And one of the things the Shulchan Aruch brings, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, it says that why is water allowed? So think about it for a second, right? Misappropriating your role, that's really an idea of gaiva. That's really an idea of haughtiness. The Mishnah Berurah says, lo shayach behu gaiva, for drinking water. Nobody's going to say, wow, look at me. I'm such a chashish person. I'm drinking a bottle of water. No. But the Mishnah Berurah adds, v'davka below tzukar, but not if you'd add sugar into it. But involving tzukar, usher, that you can't do. Certainly you can't drink beer before you daven shacharis. Now, why a person wants to get up in the morning and have a beer, that's a different story. But we're not going to talk about those who are the potential alcoholics over there. But what else comes up is, what about coffee and tea? And Mishnah Berurah says, v'te v'kafa mutar lishto sokoda matfila. And why? K'dei sheyucha l'chavin daito l'ispalo. In order to help you have proper kavana. With prato, however, there's a caveat. The makor shiregilin by him, a place where it's normal to drink it, meaning it's a culture to drink coffee in the morning or to drink a cup of tea in the morning. The aim is yashiv adas biltam, and you're not settled without it. But look what the Mishnah Berurah says. The cholze below tzukar below cholov. This is without sugar and with milk. However, the ha'olam nogim lahaka lishtos in matzukar. There is a minhag to be Meka with sugar, even though the Mishnah Berurah brings down that there are those who say that you shouldn't either have sugar and milk. Now the Aruch HaShulchan goes and says milk and sugar is allowed because, again, let's think for a second, what would be the difference between milk? So the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan bring down that milk not only is it a drink, but it also sustains you. There is a certain type of nourishment that milk has much more than water. You look at the nutritional value in a carton of milk, a bottle of milk, and you look at the nutritional value of water, you're not going to see that. In fact, the Mishnah Brachos later on brings out that there's actually a machlokas where we even make a bracha on water because it doesn't nourish. It definitely helps your body. It hydrates you, but it doesn't nourish you. Now, what would be the tzad to matir milk and sugar? So you can say like this. On one hand, milk and sugar are things that are a little bit extra. So there could be a little bit of a gaiva aspect to it. Because look at this. I am eating. I am getting nourishment from this. But on the other hand, the reason to matir it is, of course, because a person is drinking the milk and the sugar, not because he wants milk, not because he wants sugar, but because this is the normal way that people drink coffee. And most people in our country will drink coffee with milk or with creamer and not black. There might be a couple listening to the show that will disagree with me, but I think the majority of people will drink it with milk. As far as sugar is concerned, maybe you have fewer with sugar than without. Generally, I drink without sugar, but I don't drink without milk. And before davening, I have my cup of coffee with milk religiously, even on the fast day. This past Friday, I woke up early on my cup of coffee. So yeah, because, you know, it's part of it, you need it, and it makes you feel, you know, it warms you up in the morning, especially in a cold winter day. Yeah, and it wakes you up for chakras. Since I started davening, drinking coffee before chakras, I've never had a problem falling asleep in during chakras. Something that I've had in my, I've been doing this for many, many years already. But getting back to the whole shiva, since milk and sugar is considered to be the normal way of drinking it, so then that's not an aspect of gaiva. That's the milk and sugar is considered to be part of the coffee. And that will be the question about milk and sugar. The Mishnah Berurah, though, does mention, though, you should wait half an hour. You should, if you are going to be doing this, though, it is preferable to say Shema, because, again, since milk does nourish, though, it is a little bit like a food, so maybe it is permissible from Lo Sochu Adam. But for the other reason we said before about not waiting the half an hour, that's something that perhaps Mishnah Berurah says you should have, you should say Shema, if you're going to be drinking coffee with milk and sugar. Now, what do we see from this whole thing? We see from this, you know, tefillah is such an important thing. And you learned a little bit earlier from the Gemara on Daf Amud Aleph, and we learned this powerful story with Yeshayahu HaNavi and Chizkiyahu, where the Torah Gemara tells us that Chizkiyahu was in danger of losing his Olam Hazeh and his Olam Abba for not being Osek in Prayer of Arivia. And when Yeshayahu asked him, why don't you do this? And he said, well, I saw in Nevuah Ruach HaKodesh that I'm going to go ahead and have children of Roshayim. Yeshayahu says, Ba'adi Kavshi Derechmana, Malach, what's your business with Hashem's name? You stay out of Hashem's business. You do what you have to. So then Yeshayahu, then Chizkiyahu agreed and he said, I'm going to do it there. But what happened? Chizkiyahu said, fine, so let me marry your daughter. That will at least help. Yeshayahu said, it's not going to help. The Gzeirah has been sealed. And Chizkiyahu said, no, I have a Kabbalah. And my Kabbalah is, that I have for my family, is that even a sharp sword is on a person's neck, a person should always ask for rachamim because it can always help. We have this opportunity every single day. And by following the halachas and paying attention to the halachas of Losochu L'Adam, as well as the half an hour rule, what this does is this reminds us that, hey, we do have this opportunity. Let's follow these halachos that will help us take our davening more seriously. And when we take our davening more seriously, will allow us to become closer to Hashem and truly enrich our lives and every single one of our days. Kol tov, have a wonderful week.